What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Pinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo. We got a special guest here, though. Got to call him out. Back from the dead is Dean Montalbano. Everybody up. Let's go.
Good job,
Dino. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks. Don't call it a comeback.
Thanks for having me. Obviously, got some rust on me right now, so give me a second to definitely shake that off, but happy to be back with you two lunatics and happy to talk ball.
We're calling it rust now? Nice.
I got to get back to my prime. And as my name in the Zoom meeting says, daddy's home.
Damn. Were you ever in your prime?
I was always in my prime.
Oh, okay.
Ep one. Season one, ep one. That's when my prime started and it ended 2 months ago.
Okay. Fair enough. For anyone that wants to check that out, episode one, season one, first 2 minutes, that's all I'll say. Welcome home, daddy.
Your boy.
So we got a fun episode for the people today. We're doing a little would you rather type of episode. We're going to talk about players, we're going to talk about teams, some draft scenarios, and I think it's going to be a good conversation. We each have three questions that we're going to give the group, and let's get it kicked off. Ray, you want to start us up here? What's your first would you rather question?
Yeah, so I'm going to start, I think, where I view the pivot point of this draft being, and that's going to be with the Chargers at five. So if you're the Chargers, assuming three quarterbacks go ahead of you, and then the fourth is either a wide receiver or an offensive lineman, what's your plan of attack with that pick? They just got rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Their pass catchers are completely depleted. They're in cap hell. So this is a team that's going to, I think it's going to take a little bit for them to really reach their potential under Harbaugh. So are you going pass catcher at five? So assuming it's probably the second best pass catcher, you can go with the number one offensive lineman on your board, or you trade back and just accumulate more assets to try to fill some of these holes on this team. So and I guess we'll get those three options. Where are you guys kind of leaning for this team?
Yeah, Dean, you want to start us or you want me to go?
Yeah, sure. I would definitely lean towards, I just think that these wide receivers have clearly shown over and over again, even throughout the offseason, the draft process, that they are no joke. These guys are all studs at the top. You know, take your pick after Marvin Harrison, or even if you want to include, you know, the top three, top four, even in his tier, which I hear more and more some people are doing. I feel like you have to go with a Rome, a Dunes here, a Brian Thomas or Marvin Harrison, even if he's still there at five, no matter what. It's not like this, you know, O-line is not serviceable. It's not great. It's definitely below average, obviously outside of Slater, but I would definitely have to go the pass catcher after losing a Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You need to have Justin Herbert, who's very tough. He could take the licks and get up. We've seen it over and over again. Obviously, you don't want to keep that going, but he needs someone who can create separation and could obviously make some plays.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go the opposite route. I do think this ends up being offensive line at five. I think after the releasing of Mike Williams and trading Keenan Allen, I think you see sort of the clear vision that Harbaugh wants to take with this team. I think he wants to turn this team into a power running team and have Justin Herbert at the helm where you can go win games late in the fourth quarter. I really do think this is going to end up being a Joe Alt type of player at five. And I think with all the talent that you have at receiver in this draft, I think you could end up taking a really good receiver at pick 37 for them and then be on your way. It's obviously hard for me to pass up a guy like Malik Nabers if Marvin Harrison goes off at four. You know how I feel about Malik Nabers. But I feel just with this new era for the Chargers, and I feel like the way Jim Harbaugh wants to play football, he wants to play tough, running first football. So I think they're going to end up going offensive line, get their bookends set for the next few years with Slater and whoever they take at five.
Interesting. I'm going to make it a complete split. I think trading out for this team is kind of the best course of action. I think the positions that they really need are just super deep in this class, and I think it makes too much sense with Minnesota now holding 11 and 23, looking to move up for a quarterback. I think the smoke with the Giants wanting a quarterback, I think personally, I think it's mostly smoke. And I think what they're trying to do is get someone to jump ahead of them so some of the wide receiver talent falls. So I think the best course of action for the Chargers is go get 11 and 23 from Minnesota. And then you can fill both those needs, I think, with both those picks. So I think 11, you can get someone like J.C. Latham or Fuanga. I think those are perfect fits at either right tackle or right guard for this Chargers team. They've openly said they want to protect Herbert and run the football. I think with Greg Roman being that new OC, it makes all the sense in the world. They want to kind of turn into like a ground and pound team first. And I think both those guys have the potential to be there, or at least one of them will be there at 11. And then at 23, then you can go address the pass catchers. I think that's kind of the sweet spot in this draft where there's going to be like 4 to 5 guys that can go in that range that you can have your pick from. So I think it's kind of the best of both worlds. And then you also have 37 to fill some other needs with. So I'm going trade back with Minnesota personally.
Yeah. All I can picture right now, though, is draft night 5. They take all second day 2 comes at 37. They take Roman Wilson. And then in the 3rd round, they're going to take Blake Corum. That's all I can see right now. anytime I take a look at Chargers,
that would be wild.
That's what I see.
Just a really quick follow up. If 4 ends up being by some stretch of the imagination, some team wanted to leapfrog the G-men, say obviously like a Vikings, they grab the 4th quarterback and they get their pick of the litter, and obviously have the shot at Marvin. Red, you change your answer there? Do you go Marvin?
Well, then I think in that situation, trade back isn't really an option. And me personally, I'd go Marvin, but I just think the way this with Harbaugh wants to do, I think it's going to be offensive lineman if they stick at 5 personally.
Gotcha. That's a good point. Say 4 isn't, someone didn't trade up yet. It wasn't, say it was a tackle. Say it was the first tackle off the board.
Then I'm still trading back personally.
Okay.
The way this team's
okay, interesting.
And personally, I think if they do stick at 5, I think J.C. Latham is, there's a ton of smoke there. I think the fit for him in that Harbaugh offense makes too much sense. And full transparency, I've already sprinkled on that a little bit. So here's to rooting for that.
Love it.
Trey. Fair enough. All right, Dino, what do you got for us?
Yeah, this ties in really well because mine's going to actually be pertaining to the Vikings, who currently have, like Ray said, the 11th and the 23rd pick in the first, thanks to their pick swap with the Texans. This seems like obviously posturing to prepare for a trade-up to get a quarterback, as we've already alluded to. In my eyes, and obviously in all our eyes, it seems likely that the first 3 picks are going to be Caleb, May, Daniels, in whichever order you want. And according to the trade chart, it would cost about 1,800 points to get to number 4 with the Cardinals, or, you know, similar to get to number 5 with the Chargers. Picks 11 and 23 are worth about 2,000. As we know, in the draft, especially in the first, to go up and get a quarterback, you're paying premium. So that seems like a serviceable premium to get up there and get that pick. My question to you guys is, would you rather trade 11 and 23 to draft J.J. McCarthy at 4 or 5, whichever it may be, or stand pat with Sammy D and get Troy Fautino and Terrion Arnold?
Man. Right, you can start us off here.
I mean, me personally, I think just the way the Vikings are situated right now, I think you got to go get your quarterback. I think I kind of mentioned it with the Saints doing something similar. We kind of all thought the writing was on the wall that they were going to go make their move, and they didn't. But I just think with the situation that the Vikings are in, I think you got to go get a franchise guy. Justin Jefferson needs to get extended soon, and he's kind of voiced his frustrations a little bit with the lack of clarity around the quarterback position. So I've said it for probably the last month or two, I think J.J. McCarthy fits really, really well in this Kevin O'Connell offense. So I'd personally go be aggressive and go move up to go get your guy. And there's a chance that's Drake May too, with the conversation around him right now. So I think if you move up to 5, you get, most likely it's going to be quarterback 4, but I still think that the Patriots are kind of a question mark as well. So it could even be quarterback 3. If you have your choice of Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, by going to give up those 2 first round picks, I think you got to do it.
I agree that I feel like you don't make this move. I mean, you mentioned the Saints, though. We said that about the Saints too. I don't think you make this move if it's not for a quarterback. However, with the way I have my rankings and the way I feel about J.J. McCarthy and some of these later quarterbacks, I would like them to hold these draft spots. I think they can add more talent at 11 and 23. I think you may even have a shot, depending on how comfortable they feel with a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix, to draft one of those guys too, and then still acquire another really good player, whether it's at 11 or 23, however that draft board falls. But like Ray said, I feel like the writing's kind of on the wall with the way they did this trade and what they did in free agency, signing Sam Darnold to a one-year deal. I think it's going to end up being quarterback with a trade-up. So I don't love J.J. McCarthy, but if he's your guy, you got to go do it.
Definitely, yeah. No, I agree. I definitely liked what you said, Sauce. I personally, and I can't help but have my bias included in the equation. We all know I'm a big Sammy D guy, and I think he has a real shot to do some great stuff in this offense with the way that this offense is set up, and obviously the pieces it has. This team, when you look at up and down, it is pretty solid. It might only be a few pieces away with Sammy D from making a playoff run. And I think you add a Fautino and to bolster that old line and Terrion Arnold, which would be legit picture perfect for that Brian Flores defense. That's going to be a very, very zone heavy. And I think that this team could actually be something. So I personally don't do that for JJ McCarthy, and I would stay back at 11 and 23.
Nice. I'll lump all these, my first question too, kind of in with that, because I got Minnesota as a part of my first question too. But I'm going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, because I know Ray mentioned this inflection point in the draft starting at 5. I actually think it starts at 4. I know they've had a ton of conversations with teams about trading up, about them acquiring more assets. So if you're Arizona, would you rather draft Marvin Harrison at 4, assuming the 3 quarterbacks go ahead of you, and then and trade back with Minnesota so they could draft J.J. McCarthy or whoever they like, and then you get 11 and 23. You also have pick 27 from the Texans, and then that gives you just a ton of options to maybe trade back into the top 10 if you really like Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, if that's the pass catcher you're looking for, or you stamp at 11, 23, and 27, and you grab some combination of, you know, a wide receiver like a Brian Thomas, a defensive lineman, whether it be a Byron Murphy, Jerzon Newton, or one of the edge guys, a Chop Robinson, those type of players, and even a corner too. This team needs a ton of help on both sides of the ball, on both offensive and defensive lines too. So 3 first-round picks would be great for them, or you obviously get an excellent pass catcher in Marvin Harrison.
Me first?
Yeah.
Ray, take the reins on this.
I mean, this one, I think this is a no-brainer for me. You're taking Marvin Harrison every day of the week. This Arizona team, they already have 7 picks in the top 104. That includes 2 firsts, and I think 2 to 3 seconds, or 2 to 3 thirds, rather. So I think you already have the depth. I don't think it's necessary to go moving back to get more value. I mean, you know, we saw last year they kind of like to work the board, so maybe they trade back and then trade back up like something they did last year. But
yeah.
I think Marvin Harrison's the best player in this draft. And I think getting Kyler Murray, a legit number one receiver, just really takes his offense to a new level. And you can fill some of those other needs with 27. And then what's the second round pick? 39, maybe?
35.
35, yeah. So I personally think it's a no-brainer. You go Marvin Harrison, you work your other needs down the line.
Yeah, I hate to agree with Ray, but I think it's Marvin Harrison all day for sure. We've talked about how this draft is it's very stacked. It's definitely the deepest and most talented draft we've covered in our 3 years on this pod. And it's very enticing to do that. So you obviously, you know, you get more bullets in the chamber, but it doesn't get more sure than Marvin Harrison. And I agree with Ray. I think he's the best player in the draft.
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys. I do just, like Ray said, saw the way they worked the board last year. I think they have the ability to be aggressive with all the picks that they have. And I do like the idea of them trading back to 11 and then trading back into the top 10. Because, I mean, between the Chargers, I would say the Titans, the Falcons, and the Bears are all trade back candidates too. So if they wanted to move back into the top 10, I think they do have some options where they can give one of these teams a third to go back in to the top 10. And maybe if Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze is there, I think the gap between those 3 players are pretty close. I obviously have Marvin as my number one player overall, but I do think they do have some options with the amount of picks that they have. But I think I tend to agree, Marvin Harrison, maybe just too good to pass up there. All right, Ray, what do you got for your second question?
So I'm going to go focus on the Jaguars. This is an interesting team. We thought they were kind of a shoo-in to win that division. Kind of choked a little bit, missed out on the playoffs. Lawrence has been a little shaky, to say the least. And this is the final year of his cheap deal. So they really want to maximize his talent on this team. I feel like this is kind of like their go for it year. They missed out on Calvin Ridley, but they were able to bring in Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse on an offensive line, as well as Eric Armstead on the defensive line. So they kind of filled some needs there. I still think their three big needs are another pass catcher, some offensive line help, and then the secondary on defense. So my question for you is, how do you use your first three picks to address those big needs? And I got two potential options. Would you prefer Quinyon Mitchell, Ricky Pearsall, and then Cedric Van Pran with your first three picks, or Ryan Thomas Jr., Cooper Beebe, and then Chris Abrams Drain? So really, would you rather prioritize the offense to maximize that? They were kind of bottom tier running team as well and middle of the pack everywhere else, or address the defense, which was also like a middle of the pack unit.
Give me the three players again for both options.
So option one, Quinyon Mitchell, Slick Rick Pearsall, and Cedric Van Pran, or Brian Thomas Jr., Cooper Beebe, and Chris Abrams Drain.
Man, this is tough.
I kind of built these this hypothetical around you, Sauce. I knew this would be a tough one for you.
You gave me like my guys in each one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the second one. I'm going to go with the Brian Thomas Jr., Cooper Beebe, and Chris Abrams Drain route. I just think the big play ability of Brian Thomas fits really well in this offense. I know he and Gabe Davis kind of do similar stuff, but Brian Thomas is just a way better athlete than Gabe Davis. And you know how I feel about Cooper Beebe. I think he could end up playing center for this team, but he could also play guard. Brandon Scherff still on that offensive line, getting up there in age. They actually have a pretty steady offensive line group. They have like seven guys already that I do like, but adding Cooper Beebe is nice. And then adding Chris Abrams Drain, I think that's great. They did add Ronald Darby in the offseason too, but Abrams Drain could play your nickel, play your slot. And then when that contract runs out, maybe you move him to outside. I know, Ray, you feel pretty comfortable with him playing on the outside. So that's probably where I would go. I do like the other situation, but I don't feel as great with my nickel in that situation with taking Quinyon in the first. So I'm going to go with the latter option, Brian Thomas, Cooper Beebe, and Chris Abrams Drain.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Sauce, so I'll keep it short because he did a masterful dive and dissection of that for sure.
But I'll dissect you.
I'm also just going to add another element. I also just want – it seems like you need to start finding ways, any way to just get Lawrence more comfortable so he could finally take that next step. Because as we've seen, it's been like a step forward, two steps back, step forward. It's been shaky, just as you described it. And I feel like you add a Ryan Nielsen who to, you know, as the DC coming from the Falcons, and he provided a great surge for that defense last year. So I feel like you just kind of trust in your hire, and hopefully he just can make things work with less. And you just worry about the golden boy and making him, you know, hit his potential, which we know he still has a boatload of, and get this offense rolling. Because in the end of the day, obviously in this league, offense wins.
Right. Dino, what do you got for us?
For my second question, in our first 2 years doing this pod and covering the draft, we haven't gotten to speak much about the Rams basically at all because of their lack of draft capital. We've alluded to it several times. We've actually only spoken about them on rebuild eps. But now that they officially have 11 picks in the 2024 draft, thanks to a slew of compensatory picks, even with the loss of Aaron Donald, this team is only a few pieces away. This team did a great job with the signing of Kevin Dotson over the offseason to shore up this O-line. An absolutely stacked offense that will definitely be very dangerous. Obviously, you talk about Puka Nacua, you have Kyron Williams and, you know, Cooper Kupp, very dangerous tandem. If picks 19 and 50 and 52 are used to bolster this defense under new DC Chris Shula, would you rather edge Leiatu Latu and corner Kamari Lassiter or corner Cooper DeJean and D tackle Rook Oro? And I think I pronounced that correctly. So
yeah, that was good. Ray, you want to go?
Can you say the two options one more time?
Yeah. So basically, it would be Leiatu Latu.
Yep.
And Kamari Lassiter. So prioritizing that D line that obviously calls Aaron Donald, or prioritizing corner with Cooper DeJean and going D tackle with the second pick, Rook.
Damn, that's a tough one. I think I'm leaning Leiatu Latu and Lassiter. I think Leiatu Latu kind of complements those rookies on the defensive front that they picked last year in Byron Young and Wake Forest kid. Why am I blanking?
Kobe Turner.
Thank you.
He's an interior player though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Leiatu Latu is kind of technique and just refinement off the edge really complements those other guys well. So I think that really maximizes their front. And then Lassiter, he's someone who I think he can play inside or outside at the next level. And he's kind of just battle tested in Georgia. So I think he's a day one starter, even though there may be some bumps on the road. I know he hasn't really tested the best this draft process, but I think I'm going to go try to maximize your front with Latu and then go with a seasoned veteran quarter in what's his name? Lassiter.
Yeah. I have that as the overwhelming answer for them. I obviously love Cooper DeJean. But I think what they did in free agency, they brought in Darius Williams and they also brought in Cam Curl. So I think both of those guys kind of fill the role that maybe you would have for DeJean bringing him in. And I think Latu way too good to pass up in that scenario. And I like what Kobe Turner did last year as an interior player. So I don't know if you need to add Rook in that situation. I think adding Latu with Byron Young is just an outstanding young core on your edge group. And then adding Lassiter to this corner room would be really nice. Can obviously play outside, play in the nickel too. So I have that as pretty much the overwhelming answer for me.
Nice.
All right, I'll keep it rolling here. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns, another team that we don't really get to talk about a bunch. They don't have a first-round pick in this draft. Their first pick is at 54. This team is really good. This is a very, very strong team in pretty much all phases. I think they do need to get stronger in the front seven. I think that linebacker position and the interior defensive line position is where they need to attack. So would you rather take linebacker one off the board, maybe at 54, whether it's a Peyton Wilson, an Edgar Cooper, Junior Colson, those type of players, or take an interior defensive lineman player like a Tavondre Sweat, who can really protect Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, who they brought back?
Ooh, that's a tough one for me. I think I'm going in the interior defensive line. Whether I don't know if that's going to be Tavondre Sweat or I think I'd prefer like a Chris Jenkins.
Yeah, I was assuming that Jenkins might be gone at this point. But
that's fair. But yeah, I think I'm going with the interior defensive lineman. I think they have Dalvin Tomlinson, who played well. They just actually brought in Quentin Jefferson, who can kind of be a pass rush specialist for them. So I don't hate the idea of getting a big run stuffer to really help confuse the offensive their opposing offenses and make them like have to scheme around. And plus, I feel like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah has been pretty good for them at linebacker. They just brought in Jordan Hicks and Devin Bush as well. So I feel like the linebackers, they kind of have that filled out a little bit. Plus, I think the value of linebacker is going to be in that third round to day three area. I don't really like the linebacker class too much, especially when you kind of need like a thumper. So I'll go with the extremely large interior defensive lineman.
I definitely agree with Ray as well, and mostly because of what they added in the offseason, just like you said, with Devin Bush and Hicks. And JOK has been a beast, so he's been all over the field. And I feel like just being the most dominant D line is always been there. It was definitely their thing last year, and honestly, just building on that would be definitely the best course of action.
Sounds good. I think I would agree too. I know I just watched Peyton Wilson, and I might have him a little high in my ranking. So I do love me some Peyton Wilson, but I think I tend to agree with you guys. I think they've gotten enough with some of their free agent acquisitions, in that linebacker room. And just adding a Tavondre Sweat seems really interesting, pairing him next to Myles Garrett. So I think I agree with you guys there too. Ray, what do you got for your last question?
So my last one's going to center around your Detroit Lions. Ooh. So they've had, I guess, an interesting offseason. They've kind of been unique in the guys they brought in. They got DJ Reader on a nice deal to beef up that interior of the defensive line. They traded for Carlton Davis, which I think was a really nice deal. I think they gave up a third-round pick, but good value for a proven starter. They also brought in Amik Robertson from the back end from the Raiders, too. So, and then also Marcus Davenport on the defensive line. So they were really creative addressing the defense. I still think they need some impact players on that side of the ball. Their offense is proven. I guess they could afford to maybe go with a luxury pick and get another wide receiver. But for this hypothetical, it's focused on the defensive side of the football. So with their first two picks, which pair would you rather them address? Cooper DeJean and Chris Jenkins? Or the inverse of that, go Darius Robinson and get a Kamari Lassiter in round two?
Man, this one's tough for me. Somewhat surprising, I may end up going Cooper DeJean and Chris Jenkins. You know how I feel about Darius Robinson as a player. I just feel like if they're going to go edge there, I think I maybe want a little more athleticism, hoping that maybe a Chop Robinson gets to me there, or a player like that. I feel like their front is already pretty heavy, and I know that they want to be a power football team, especially along the defensive line, and Darius Robinson would fill that out. I just think with all the things that they can do on the back end with Cooper DeJean and with some of their other guys like Branch and Kirby Joseph, who's also a pretty versatile player, I think they could just do a lot of creative things in that aspect. And Chris Jenkins, just a great run stuffer next to Aleem McNeil, who's got some pass rush upside. I like that pairing on the interior. So that's where I'm going to go, a Cooper DeJean and Chris Jenkins.
I hate to just keep agreeing with people, but I definitely like the versatility that Chris Jenkins would bring to this D-line that already has a ton of pieces. It would be basically a depth piece. I'm actually looking at the team now. The team is stacked. It's pretty astonishing, actually, what has been, you know, how this organization has been turned around the past few years. Shout out Sauce. And
Ted ass, shout out me.
I feel like Cooper DeJean on this team would be a lot of fun and would fit exactly what this defense wants to do and would honestly just add to their dominance. If this defense could be top 10 and this offense be top 10, this is going to be a scary team again.
I'm going to go with the latter. I'm going to go Darius Robinson and either Kamari Lassiter. I know we already mentioned him, but so maybe someone like Eric Raestraw too would be a better fit for this team as well. But yeah. I think I'm going to address someone on the front and then go with the back end on day two. I think Darius Robinson is a perfect fit for this team. I think his ability to rush from the edge and from the interior gives them a nice versatility that they don't really have. And I think he's kind of got similar traits to Marcus Davenport. And Marcus Davenport, I'm pretty sure, just signed a one-year deal. So I think you get someone who's younger, a little bit more upside, and can really be an impact pass rusher for this team. I think he just complements what Aiden Hutchinson and James Houston does so well. And then someone like Eric Raestraw, I think it may even be a better fit for the secondary than a Kamari Lassiter. He's just physical. I think he brings that physicality that Dan Campbell loves in the secondary. I think him and Carlton Davis on the outside with Brian Branch in the slot, that's a really, really good cornerback room. So I'll go with that.
Yeah, I don't love Raestraw as much in their scheme. They flipped to playing a ton of man-to-man coverage. I really like Raestraw playing in that zone coverage. But yeah, I can't knock it too much. I do like Darius Robinson's versatility. I know you said we weren't looking at the offensive side of the ball, but I'm infatuated with them taking a wide receiver at 28. I really do love the possibility of like an A.D. Mitchell adding to their wide receiver room, get a big physical, go down the field type of wide receiver. You pair that with all the intermediate and underneath stuff that you get from Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta, and then you have the speedster with J-Mo. I think that really makes their offense really scary.
I consider that as well, but I just feel like with Jameson Williams, like they kind of invested so much in him, and he's kind of got the traits that those receivers in that range have, like the A.D. Mitchells, Troy Franklins, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of similar in the play style, so
I don't think so. But
I feel like addressing wide receiver on day three with like a Malachi Corley would make a lot of sense for this team. Just give them a different dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know if I really agree. I think the play style with him and Troy Franklin is similar. I think A.D. Mitchell's got more upside as a physical receiver. And I think this some of the stuff that they would do with Corley is a lot of the same stuff that they already do with Amon-Ra. But yeah, I'm infatuated with them taking a wide receiver at 28, honestly. I think that's so fun. I think their offense would just explode.
I think that would be overkill. I feel like Khalif Raymond is very serviceable and honest.
I like it. All right, Dino, what do you got for us? Your last one.
Last one. It wouldn't feel right unless we obviously spoke about the G-men. Considering that.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk. No Jets questions. I love it.
Yeah, no Jets.
Do the people get enough Jets talk?
I think they get enough Jets talk, so we'll take a break this one. But the G-men are in a very precarious position, obviously. We've alluded to it a million times, I'd say, all year, considering they're at six, and it's a QB-loaded draft. And obviously last year, they gave Danny Dimes the bag, obviously. The G-men only have six picks in this draft, and if they wanted to make sure they secure the fourth QB in the draft and not get leapfrogged, it's pretty safe to say pick number 47, which would be their next pick, would probably get it done according to draft chart. If you were Joe Shane, would you rather give up number 6 and 47 to the Cards for number 4 to grab the fourth quarterback, no matter who that may be, considering it'll most likely be JJ, and not get leapfrogged, or do you stay at 6 and take Rome?
Ray, you could start here.
Yeah, I mean, I love JJ McCarthy, and I like the idea of him being in this on this Giants team and sitting a year behind Daniel Jones where there's a little bit less pressure. But that being said, I'm sticking at 6 and I'm addressing wide receiver. This team is just void of talent. I think getting a quarterback makes sense for them just because if they're really concerned about their job, they kind of want to go down swinging and get their guy in the building. But I don't think the pressure's on them as much as the media kind of makes it out to be. I think you have to give this team some weapons to work with. I think they have a lot of smaller receivers, speedier receivers. So I think Rome kind of can be that immediate day one guy, number one target. And it really and just let Daniel Jones. I mean, this is his last year. So this is like either he can succeed or not. So I think you got to see what you have with Daniel one more time and kind of build up the foundation before you bring in another rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. It's just me personally. I'm not trading up for J.J. McCarthy. I'm sorry. I'm not trading up for J.J. McCarthy to take him as the fourth quarterback. I know he's showing flashes, but I'm going to have to sit him year one. He's most likely, I think I'd probably sit him for 2 years, honestly, just the way that he's played. And I would feel even more comfortable taking a Penix or a Bo Nix if they got there to 47 or trade up a little bit if I wanted to go take a quarterback in the second round. So I think that's probably where I would look. Let's talk about the wide receiver quickly at 6, though. They have all these small, quick type of receivers in their room. Let's just say you do have the option of taking Neighbors or Rome. Rome, obviously, the little bit bigger receiver. He probably fits a little bit better with these other guys around him. But you know how I feel about Malik Neighbors and the upside that he has. I'm still leaning Malik Neighbors, even with the room that they have. Are you guys also the same, or are you thinking Rome fits a little bit better with this team?
I'm thinking Rome. I also want to add that I'm shocked. I thought Ray would definitely take that bait. I thought he was for sure going to lean into this.
Oh, you dangled it in front of him, but
I did. That's what it was meant for. It was a Ray bait question.
I think I'm it's tough because I think Rome does fit better. That being said, I think Malik Nabers fits too. And I think what this Giants, the way this team is drafted over the past couple years, I think they would end up going Nabers. I think he has a lot of Odell in his game. And I think he's got the ability to win at all three phases as well. Similar to Rome, I think he's just got more juice. And just the way the league's going, I think juice wins out. So I think I'd end up going Nabers. I think the Giants would too.
Right. All right, fellas, let's get to my last question. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys pick at 24. They need to upgrade their offensive line. They lost Tyron Smith, their left tackle, and they also lost Tyler Biadasz, their center. Would you guys rather them take a ready-made interior offensive lineman, like a Jackson Powers Johnson or a Graham Barton in that scenario, and then maybe they go out into the tackle market in the free agency with you know, maybe a Donovan Smith type of player, or you get Mekhi Becton on the cheap to play left tackle, or are you taking your upside left tackle like a Tyler Guyton or a Marius Mims if he gets there?
That's a tough one. I think with Tyler Smith being on the roster and him having played some left tackle for them, sure, he may be a better fit at guard, but I think he's proven he can be an NFL tackle. I'm going with the ready-made guy, especially on a team that needs to win now. I mean, there's so much pressure on this regime. So I'd personally go Graham Barton, who has the flexibility and versatility to play inside and may even be able to play outside in a pinch. You know how much I love Graham Barton, too. I think he fits with what they do well. I think you can play him at left guard, Tyler Smith at left tackle, and then just really cook. So I'm going with that route.
I'm going to change it up. I will say that I agree with Ray. If it's Guyton, but if Amarius Mims gets there, I think I got to lean Mims. I feel like even if you like Tyler Smith at left tackle, which he has played, and you want to keep him there, I think you throw out Amarius Mims to right tackle. You got your bookends and you move forward. I get that you probably want the versatility and the more NFL ready guy, but I can't overlook Amarius Mims' talent, his upside, and obviously what he did at the combine to really solidify himself as a first rounder.
And I don't hate that at all, because I love Marius Mims. His upside is tantalizing, but what concerns me is just the fact that he's only played right tackle. I know they say that he's been practicing at left tackle a ton, and that transition seems like he could it makes sense, but I think with Terrence Steele kind of locked into that right tackle spot, I think going with a Graham Barton gives you a little bit more versatility and flexibility on the offensive line. Plus, Marius Mims has just been so banged up. It's just, for a team that needs to win now, a regime that has so much pressure on them and Mike McCarthy, I just think you got to get this one right.
It's a good point.
Yeah. If Amarius Mims is there, I'm taking him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's just too much upside for them to pass up. And right, like you said, I think I was reading like the practice reps that he was taking at left tackle. It's like a 60-40 split, right tackle to left tackle. So he was practicing a ton at left tackle. So I don't think the transition is too much. If he ends up going, which I think with just his traits and his upside, I think he does end up going before this pick. So if it is a Graham Barton or Tyler Guyton in that scenario, I do go Graham Barton and then hopefully try to attack the free agent market, try to get another swing tackle, and then I'll play Tyler Smith at left tackle. But man, if Amarius Mims is there for me, I'm taking Amarius Mims. He's just got too much upside, too much of a freak for me to pass up on.
And honestly, I can't blame you. I wish you the best. But it's too much risk for me.
Pussy.
That being said, if the Jets end up taking Amarius Mims, I'm in. So.
All right, boys. That was fun. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, welcome back, Dean. And what are we, a month out? Almost exactly a month
almost
out.
Almost exactly a month out.
32 days, baby.
God damn, bro. I can't wait.
I know.
All right, boys, that's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our What Would You Rather episode. Stick with us. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. We got linebackers coming out this week. We got the tight ends coming up. We're going to finish out our position groups with safeties and running backs. We're going to get some mock drafts. We're going to get our final big boards in before the NFL draft. So stay locked in for that. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at @2Tackles2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Ray, my friend, and Dino, welcome back. Appreciate you, boys.